Welcome to the Being Curious Show. I'm Brian Mariani, founder of No Shift Own.
And I'm Kelly Wagner, publisher of Edge Magazine. Our show is about curiously connecting teachers and seekers on a wide range of topics in a safe space. Few topics will be off limits, and we have some amazing guests to share with you.
Our intention is that our conversations will spark your own curiosity to create a life that lights you up and inspires you to be kind, thoughtful, open-minded to yourself and others.
We are on AM 950, Sundays at 2 p.m. and all podcast platforms. So, Brian, what are you curious about today?
Hey, guys, it's Kelly. I'm back. Brian's still tripping the wild fantastic. So we have Miss Elizabeth Sullivan back in studio with us. Hey, Elizabeth.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited about our next guest.
We're going to cause some trouble today. No, actually, we're not going to. Mr. Eric Christopher. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
I feel honored to be here.
It's my first time being on radio, so I feel very important. And thank you.
You're in the studio. You have headsets on. You're mic'd.
I know.
There's cameras everywhere.
Gosh, yeah.
It's like official.
Yeah, I know. I'm feeling very special right now. Everyone should do this.
It's totally. Like a real, we need to like get our cameras out and start taking selfies
just
and pictures.
Actually, think about that. If everyone was showcased for their brilliance, how much that would heal the world.
Oh, my.
Right?
Should we just forget that we're going to talk about what we're talking about with Eric and just go on to that?
No. because we're about to like showcase the brilliance of Eric Christopher, which
reminds me of when I used to work on a psychiatric unit. We would have a community meeting, and we have to come up with a question of the day. And my favorite was, what is your secret talent or secret ability? And should you have people, though, that, you know, they're off the street. Maybe they're, you know, hearing voices or something. And, you know, one guy said, well, I was a professional bowler. And, you know, and really?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And he showed us the website, and sure enough, he was. And then, but other people, they'd have these amazing talents. And so, yeah, everybody is good at something, it seems. That's what I learned.
Or they were a professional trumpet player and played Carnegie Hall when they were 18, or just something like beautiful like that, where you're like, hold on, I'm going to go fact check that really quick.
But, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, you guys. It's not a coincidence that Eric is here today. First off, he is a friend of the Edge community, and I don't say this enough because I'm very bashful about our platform, but Edge Magazine is a passion of ours. It's a passion for our community, for Steve and I, and I'm going to get emotional. Eric was one of the first people that when we purchased the Edge Magazine from the previous owners, he came back. He came back all in. And he said, I want to support you, and I want to contribute. And I don't know what you guys are doing yet, but I want to be a part of it. So from Steve and I and from our community, thank you.
Oh, of course.
That's just is so special.
I just wanted to support the mission that you and Steve are doing. It's absolutely incredible and vital and important, especially at this time in our society.
Well, thank you. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, you guys, this is just this is going to be a really fun one. And collecting the thoughts.
Let's share a little bit about who Eric is.
Yes, that's what I'm going to.
I'm going to bring us back.
Thank you. Gotta love Elizabeth. Eric Christopher has a master's degree in marriage and family therapy and is a certified hypnotherapist. His life passion has been to spiritually awaken and to help clients do the same, using hypnotherapy to guide clients to connect to their own inner wisdom and higher self that can uncover and heal the roots of limiting fears and belief. He specializes in past life regression therapy, life between lives therapy, and also present life deep emotional healing of the body and the subconscious mind. He has a private practice in Mendota Heights, Minnesota, and he's our guest today. Thank you, Eric, for being here.
Well, it's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
So, what we ask everybody, what are you curious about?
I am curious about the afterlife. And the other thing I was thinking of I'm curious about is every time I go to our high school reunions, I grew up in a small town. Our high school class was only 150 people, maybe about 40 come to the reunions. But I am always curious about the story of their lives. It's like we knew them, I knew them, like when they were, say, at chapter 2 or 3, 18-year-olds. And now, whatever chapter they're on, you know, right. Everyone has had ups and downs, failures, successes. if when I'm at those reunions, I feel like I want to stop time and go and interview every one of those people there and say, what have been your successes and joys or failures? What's been the hardest time in your life or the greatest joy in your life? And for me, I'm really curious about that. That's what makes me very curious, too, as well as the afterlife.
I can see him lined up at a, totally. Like, right?
That's like Lucy and, you know, Snoopy, like, come on and talk to me. Yeah.
I think Joan Stefan would probably join you on that adventure.
Yeah. I think she would, too.
Yeah, I could pick up some interview tips from her, I know.
Yeah. So, Eric, I'm curious, how does a marriage family therapist get involved in past life regression and your curiosity about the afterlife?
Yes. Well, that my curiosity about the afterlife and my interest in past life regression, I would say it goes back to when I could not find a teaching job after I graduated from college at St. Olaf College. And so I decided to go overseas to teach English. And I did in Taiwan, found a job there, saved up enough money to pay back a few loans, and then do some further traveling in India. And when I was in India backpacking around as this impressionable 24-year-old, I decided...
Chapter 4, maybe?
Yeah, that was chapter 4, yeah, early on in it. I decided to work for the Mother Teresa Home for the Destitute and Dying in Calcutta. It's now called Kolkata, or it's at the time it was Calcutta.
How did you choose that organization?
Because I was reading the... Kind of the Go India guidebook. And they mention, oh, if you're in Calcutta, this is something you might want to do if you're traveling and a backpacker traveler. And as soon as I read that, I thought, there's something that dropped in and said, yes, experience this. So I went to go there. And my first moments there, you know, I don't know what to do. And I walk in, what should I do? And the guy said, you know, who was in charge, said, why don't you go over and sit with that man over there because he's dying? And I said, well... okay, and I sat with him, and he started talking to me and looking in my eyes, and I said to him, I don't know what you're telling me, because I don't understand what you're saying, because he was talking in Bengali, which is a local dialect. Mm. That didn't seem to matter. He kept talking to me, looking in my eyes, and he reached out his arms, and I grabbed his arms. And while he was looking at me in his eyes, he just died right in my arms. Mm. And he became this cold, hard shell, this thing. And at that moment, his heat, his light, his electricity, his consciousness just went somewhere. And his eyes became vacant. And that made an impression on me, because we took that limp body and then we... you know, it was just a shell at that point, and we threw it on a burning pyre out in the street like an hour later. But I just couldn't get it out of my head. Wait, what I was talking to was not that lump of body that we threw on the fire. I was talking to his light, his energy, his consciousness. Where is that now?
Yeah. Mm.
And who and what are we as souls? Who are, you know, what's going on?
Right.
Yeah. So that was always turning around in my mind. The rest of my travels in India, a couple of years later, I picked up this book called Journey of Souls by Michael Newton. And it was interesting how I came across that book, because I wasn't even thinking about it, but I remember working on that was when I was working in a psych unit, and I saw this nurse walk by, and I just I found myself blurting out. I said, Dale, what book should I read? And without even looking at me, he just said, Journey of Souls by Michael Newton. And he kept walking. And I thought, okay, I'm going to get that.
Right.
But that book changed my life. And what that book was about is that he was a psychologist. And this is a psychologist that was a skeptic. And he said he was an acknowledged atheist and skeptic. But he would tell his clients, while in a state of hypnosis, he used hypnosis, go to the source of your issue. And sometimes they went to the source of their issue in a different life. And he didn't know what to make of that, because he didn't believe it at first. But then he started, with a few of these people, he decided to do some investigating. And so one guy went to the source of his back pain, for instance, to World War I. And Michael Newton decided to grill him with questions. Well, what's your name? Who's your commanding officer? What's your hometown? What's your rank? And the guy just blurted out information. And he, Michael Newton, went and verified this information in some military records. And then he thought, okay, wait, there is – and he did it a few times. He said there is something about this and with this reincarnation here. So, boy, what happens if I take a person to a past life and then where – after that life is over, what if I hypnotize them a little bit deeper? Where does their soul go? What does it do? And he ends up doing this for 3,600 people.
Wow.
And he says there are such amazing consistencies with what people were saying while under a deep state of hypnosis about what their soul was up to, what it was doing, what earth life was like from the vantage point of the soul. And not only that, but everyone just – it was – for pretty much most people, it was like a very much of a healing session for them. They got – it was almost like a – when people talk about a near-death experience, it was like a mini near-death experience because you get the same level of consciousness and insights and they brought – and they would bring that back. And so it was such a moving, profound session for so many people. When I read that book, I finally knew what I wanted to do in my life. I said, oh, my gosh, I got to get training with that guy before he retires. But it just so happened that I had just started a marriage and family therapy program. And I'm glad I did the program because I wanted to get the background training in that. But I could hardly wait for that program to get over, I mean, so I could then really pursue hypnotherapy, then past life regression, and then training with Michael Newton, the Life Between Lives training. So that's kind of a long story of how I became interested in it. And
but it's so organic.
Yeah.
And it just flows and it just feels really, really natural.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I've always been curious about, like, what happens after. Mm-hmm. So I grew up and my grandpa was a mortician.
Yeah.
And so we were always around bodies. And I was like, what happens once their consciousness departs?
Yeah.
And, like, where does that energy go and what does it become?
Yeah.
And, you know, if we believe that energy begets energy, like, you know, just transforms, then what's happening?
Were you ever able to ask your grandfather, like, is there a feeling? Is there a knowing? Because my sister-in-law's also a mortician.
Yeah.
And there's a long story with that. But sitting with a gentleman that you were just, like, you walk in the door and they're like, go over there. Like, go. And your grandfather.
Yeah.
Is there a discussion regarding that, or do you think that they compartmentalize it and do that in the safety of not opening up Pandora's box?
I think it's a mix, at least for my grandpa and my uncle and my cousins who are all in it, you know, like, because right now, recently, we've had some family members die, and so, you know, that it's interesting to see how you know, the energy around a body kind of lingers for a little bit before it moves, depending on the resolution that someone has with that current lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's less regret at the end, I think the energy moves quicker than if there's more peace and resolution and support. And it sounds like, Eric, you were able to give that Bengali man like the support and presence, which is beautiful because a lot of people don't get that at the end of their life.
Yes. And to dovetail on that, something weirdly fascinating happened 23 years after that. I was regressing a client, and we went to a past life, and then she was in the soul realm in between. This client was particularly psychic. And while she was high up in that spiritual high dimension, she was talking to relatives that had passed over. And then out of the blue, she says, Eric, there's an Indian man here. Says you were with him when he died in India. And I got goosebumps.
Yeah.
And I just said, well, tell him thanks for stopping by.
I love it.
No doubt. That's such sacred space.
Yeah. How she could know that, I have no idea. But, yeah.
It's real, people.
Amazing. So the more you delve into this, the more your consciousness, your more your belief system expands to include a lot. So
yeah,
I love how you said that it just expands. Mm-hmm. It's you don't have to discredit something. You don't have to close a book like with religion and beliefs. And
no.
Oh, my goodness. OK, you guys, we're wrapping up segment one with Eric Christopher. We've got Elizabeth. We have Brian in spirit. And we're blessed that you're
hey,
with
Brian.
Us. Hey, Brian. We've dabbled a little bit about past life regression. We're going to start the next segment with really what is past life regression and just jump deeper into that understanding. Cause I bet you have some people that are a little curious about this.
Mm-hmm.
It is Kelly. It is Elizabeth. It is Eric. We are being curious on AM 950.
More and Brian's still with
us. And Brian's still with us.
He's not dead, yes. Given our topic. Yes. he's just gallivanting.
we'll be right back. Thank you. Stop. And we're back. Brian does that so much better than I do, but so glad you're back. AM 950, being curious, Kelly, Brian, Eric, and Elizabeth. Today we have Eric Christopher, past life regression. You guys, we're just jumping in. Hey, Elizabeth has a question. Go for it.
Yeah. So, Eric, you do past life regression work.
Yes.
And I know because I've gotten a beautiful chance to work with you. And Kelly over there has had a beautiful chance to work with you, too. And we've known each other for a while. But there's lots of people here that are like, past life regression. Like, how does that work? And how do people do past life regression work? And are there ways you do it?
Mm-hmm. And then tell us about, after that, tell us, like, what does a session look like with you?
Because,
because some people could be like, woo, what's going on? And it's really this beautiful, private, comfortable,
sacred
experience. Okay, now I'm going to be quiet.
Okay. Well, past life regression is basically based on the concept that we're these souls having a human experience. And just to go to dovetail on that, just think if I died in the next 5 seconds, I'd look very different than I do now. There'd be no life force animating this body. So one could say, well, you are that light and energy and consciousness that's animating the body. I mean, one day you won't be your body, but try as you might, you can't not be that light and energy and consciousness that's animating the body. That part's eternal. It's indestructible. Mm-hmm. It's outside of time and space. You can't take a gun and shoot a soul and kill it. It's pure energy. And you are that. You're animating this body. So you are this eternal being using this body. And right now, I would say that there is enough evidence of reincarnation that even a logical-minded skeptic can believe in reincarnation just on the sheer evidence of that. And that is, you go to YouTube, Children Who Remember Other Lives, and you're just, if you want to dig, it's there. But one of the things, though, that I'd like to share, though, is
you got a lot going on.
Yeah, you do.
This room does this.
This room does do this. So, yeah. So tell us, like, you know, there's different ways you do past life regression work with people. And if I'm someone brand new to you and I enter the space, what's a session look like? And also just how does past life, you mentioned there's like three ways.
You've helped me remember the point I was going to make.
Okay, go back
perfect.
To it.
Go.
See, this is why we have Elizabeth here today.
The point is you should be able to tune into that which you can't escape from.
There we go.
That which you already are.
Ding,
and
ding.
We can. How do you tune into that? You quiet the analytical thinking mind and you can go deep within. And one of the ways I do that is through hypnosis, hypnotherapy. So hypnotherapy combined with a guided imagery can help you connect in a deeper, more solid way to this eternal soul part of you that you already are and that you can't even escape from, and that part of you that's outside of time and space. So the process of what past life regression would look like is I do hypnosis, and again, hypnosis is very misunderstood concept.
Tell us more about that, because I just had that little thought bubble above you that I was like, there's people out there like, I can't be hypnotized.
I know. When we think of hypnosis, we think of the Las Vegas comedy shows where people are doing funny things, and it always gives the appearance that somehow those people are either asleep or or not in control. But that any one of those people, if they really wanted to, they could snap out of it and go sit down. It's not like they're role-playing, but what's happening is they're allowing themselves to get into a certain brainwave state mm-hmm. that makes them very suggestible and also open to subconscious material and abilities and such. And so what we're doing is we're basically, and how does a person get there? Easy. It's just basically using my suggestions combined with your own imagination. And very quickly, you can let your body get super relaxed super fast. But it's not about being sleepy. It's more about letting your mind be like a blank canvas. So I tell people, think of this as just like a shortcut route to get into a super deep state of meditation. And from there, we're going to turn it into a guided journey. Now, what people need to know about hypnosis is you're always going to be awake and aware throughout the process. You can be so deep in that process that you are, even like, for instance, the Life Between Lives session, you're so deep that you are, you can be connecting with loved ones that have passed on the other side. Or, you know, it's not like you're seeing them, you know, the way I can see you in the studio here, but you're getting a snapshot image or impression and then a download, an energetic download or a telepathic download of this communication. So information comes in this big feeling way. So people can be so deep that they're connecting with that or even spirit guides. But at any point in time, if you wanted to or needed to, you could open your eyes and get up and use the bathroom and then come back and within 30 seconds pick up right where we left off. So it's important to know for everyone that you're always awake and aware throughout the process. And I always tell people, you kind of control the gas pedal, so to speak, as to how far deep you go into hypnosis. What helps you go deeper is just to be anchored in the present moment. The thing that pulls you out is this chatterbox thinking mind that says, oh, do I have any errands to run on the way home today? And, you know, if you can ignore that and keep your focus anchored in the present moment, you'll go deeper, deeper, deeper. And as part of this guided journey, I have you imagine going down some stairs and in a garden, and I have you imagine floating up above yourself. So you're looking down at yourself in that garden. And I have then your consciousness begin to float up higher and higher. I'll have you temporarily leave behind your body and mind identity of your present life and more begin to tune into the light and energy and consciousness that animates your body, your soul self. And you're doing that with your imagination, but keep in mind, you already are this eternal being. And then I'll have you picture a tunnel. You imagine going through that tunnel. Your mind is like a blank canvas. By that time, your mind is relatively blank. We've made the statement of intent. Well, this is something within past life regression. We always make an intention for that journey. That's, I find, very helpful. And always remember, you already are this eternal being using this body. And the most important thing to know is, just as the body's instinct is to breathe, the soul's instinct is to grow and evolve. Mm. That's what we're doing here. So you can pretty much bank on your soul self is very interested in your body and mind personality somehow growing, evolving, healing, moving forward in some way. So past life regression is always relevant to this present life. You'll rarely see any life that is not relevant to your growth or moving forward or gaining insight, wisdom, and clarity or healing in some way. So people often will say, well, gosh, I got so many issues in this life. Why would I look at a past life? Well, no, that can give sometimes healing and deep clarity into your issues in this life.
I love you equating it to your body breathing and your soul's desire mm-hmm. to grow and evolve.
Yeah.
And your beauty with which you help people remember the stunningness of consciousness. Because mm-hmm. I think sometimes we forget that our consciousness is such a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And who and what and how we use this consciousness and this matter that's our body
mm-hmm.
is the adventure of this life or mm-hmm. other patterns or other lifetimes.
Yeah.
How
are we going to use this body? And that's, this gives a bird's eye view. The process is probably the most divine holy thing you can do is by going deep within and connecting to that part of you that's eternal, that's divine. And that higher part of you will show you a life that's going to help you, this body and mind personality, to move forward in some way. So that's why it's always helpful to have a statement of intent for the inner journey.
Right.
And that can be...
Like, what are some examples of statements of intent that people
might come to? Some people will come, show me a life or lives. This is an example. Show me a life or lives I've lived before that can most help me understand and heal my anxiety that I've had my whole life. Or my anxiety when I'm driving over a bridge. Or... show me a life or lives that can most...
Kelly has one. Kelly has one. Go.
Okay.
Okay. I saw Eric this weekend, and there was this beautiful doctor that was giving B12 shots as a gift to the group. Licensed, certified. He was all legit. It was all good. And I started to sweat and started to have this... anxiety, even knowing that people will receive, I didn't tell you this, even receiving shots like in the other room, I was just flushed.
Yeah.
And I don't remember, and I've had needle, and I used to sell lab equipment. I have had a needle phobia ever since I came out of the womb. Like I didn't want to get pregnant because I knew I was going to have to, it's bad. Mm-hmm. It's not in this life. It's something, right? So how do you, I think this is an example of something that I've brought in from
another life.
Another life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I've got a perfect case example.
Go for it.
That before we get into that case example, though, I want to say one other thing. You don't necessarily have to have an issue. You can, a statement of intent, if you wanted it to be, could just be, show me a life or lives I've lived before that is most affecting this life and is most helpful and beneficial for me to see.
Yeah.
It can be something real general, but if you have an issue, you might, and it seems like, it feels like there's more of an emotional charge that correlates to anything in this life, well, then you might want to, consider past life regression. Basically, it's going within and letting your own higher mind or consciousness show you something. So I do have a case example of someone that came in with a needle phobia. And And all I know is...
Did Kelly know them in their past life? Sorry, go ahead.
Maybe you were in the same place, in the same hospital. Because this is what happened. There was a couple, a young woman who was in her early 20s, and her boyfriend came. And we sat in the office. And so I said, okay, what is it... The same question I ask everyone, what is it you most want to gain or get out of the session, ideally if you could? And then her boyfriend walks over. He hadn't said hardly anything at that point. And he shoves this piece of paper in my face. And I say, what is this? And he whispers in my ear, this is what she's coming in for. She can't talk about it. Otherwise, she's going to get all panicky. And I read the paper. It says, phobia of needles. So we said, okay. We said we just instructed her to go to the life or lives that could show her the source, or it could help her heal this fear of needles, this phobia that she had. She goes to a life where she sees herself. She says, this is in Europe somewhere. It's like, 50, 60, 70 years ago. And I'm in a mental hospital here. And they're shooting me with these needles full of things. And I know I'm pretty paranoid. I think they're shooting me with poison, and I'm pretty panicky, and maybe they were, who knows, she felt it was toxic to her, it was poison, in her mind, she's getting shots with poison, and she'd be afraid, freak out every time, and she ends up dying in that hospital, And when she's in the soul realm, after that life is over, we always follow, where does your soul go? What does it do? And 95% of the time, it floats up. You get a sense of just like on an energy current pulling up higher into the spiritual dimension. And from there, we could see, where that energy, yeah, where that fear came from. It came from that past life. Let's take this fear energy and energetically release it from the physical, mental, and emotional energy bodies. Let's get back a part of your own light that was covered up and lost when you took that in. So you're bringing in light, healing energy. And then we give it to her present life self and that past life self. So we did a little healing work with that. Didn't hear anything from her. 3 months later, the same couple comes back. I didn't recognize him. This time he had an issue. But they said, oh, don't you recognize this? I had that needle phobia. I said, oh, how did that go? She said, oh, it's totally gone now. In fact, about a month after that, I went on a trip. And I had to get some shots for immunity to go for this trip, and I had no problem with it. I said, "Oh, really?" And then that's nice to know. And then her boyfriend came in to do a session, and that session was probably one of the most my favorite sessions I've ever had because it's a really fascinating one. So. Which I'd be happy to share about. But what I, maybe the next segment, but what I'd like to say is that how does that happen? Well, the Tibetans are very spiritual people, and they'll say we have a physical energy body, a mental energy body, emotional energy body, and energy can get stuck and caught. If you die in a certain traumatic way, energy will just get stuck and caught in the energy field. And your soul can move up into a higher vibration and be really great. But then when you come back down, it's possible to pick up on some of that energy physically, mentally, emotionally. So she was picking up on that mental and emotional energy.
Yeah.
That's what got carried over. We became aware of it. With our will and intent, we could let that go. So many times in one session, you can be done with a phobia.
It's like a subconscious bath.
That, oh my gosh, that's fantastic. You guys, we're wrapping up segment two. That just like slid by. I think the Facebook people are going to watch this video and just start laughing. We are Being Curious with Kelly and Brian, Elizabeth and Eric on AM 950. We'll be back in a little bit. Beautiful ones, we're back. Being Curious, Kelly and Brian and Elizabeth and Eric. We're talking about past life regression. Eric almost had me hypnotized in the last segment.
Maybe a few of you. I hope you weren't driving.
If anyone was driving, you know, please be safe. Oh my
Sorry
goodness,
about
you guys!
That.
Oh, don't apologize. No. It's fantastic. Yeah, I think you're going to get a lot of people curious.
It's a full studio.
It's like, oh gosh, it is a full studio.
It's a full
today.
Studio.
We're like whoop whoop whoop. Okay, Elizabeth,
right.
Kick us off, lady.
I have a few questions.
Nope, not allowed. Just kidding.
She's shutting down my curiosity. I don't know if that's actually possible.
That's not
possible.
Allowed.
I don't know if that's possible.
No, you're going to push right through.
All right. So, Eric, love to hear for, you know, our listeners out there, can you speak a little bit about some of the benefits of doing past life regression work? You know, we heard about that woman who got over her needle phobia. Hopefully Kelly can move through hers with your support. But really that imprint of, like, these past lives are impacting our present moment. And with our intent and will and the support of guidance, we are able to move through some of those patterning that is negatively impacting us. Can you tell us some of the benefits of this work?
Well, some of the benefits of this work would include what it does is it helps you tune into a higher part of yourself that's already free, whole, and complete and without fears. And all the while, it'll also show you a life that is going to help you benefit, that's going to help benefit you the most. It's going to help you heal and grow and evolve in some way. And some of the ways, 3 ways that it does that. One of the ways it does is it helps release energy that is limiting you or holding you back physically, mentally, and emotionally. Going back to that last needle phobia, yes, she had, you know, mental and emotional and even physical energy blocks there. We energetically let that go. So that's one way it does it. The other way is it can draw upon some beneficial energies. So sometimes, you know, people sometimes think, oh, I want to go to the root of my low self-esteem. And they might think, oh, I'm going to go to this orphan life where, you know, I was kicked and spit on. But instead, this is an actual case example. This one woman instead went to a life where she was just amazing leader in some indigenous tribe. And she had such wisdom and she had such connection to her, not only her higher self, but also of nature. And she was just really intricately, she had such wisdom in that life. And she was a respected leader that she said, my gosh, I've never felt these energies in my life. So sometimes you see a fantastic life and it's about bringing those energies into this life.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. And then sometimes it's about getting a soul lesson.
Mm. What's a soul lesson?
Well, a soul lesson might be, well, how are you going to deal with death and loss? This earth life, this is the place where we challenge ourselves as souls. I mean, think of it this way. In the spirit realm, there is no death. There's no loss. There's no need for money.
But traffic jams and road rage and rates and sickness and rates.
This is the realm of loss. This is the realm of challenges and sickness. And why is that? Well, this is our learning and growing. We are here to learn, grow, and evolve. How are you going to deal with loss? How are you going to deal with challenges? So some of these soul lessons might be, oh, how did I handle loss in that life? Did it make me guard my heart so I couldn't love the rest of my life, or did it make me stronger and find a way that I could share and help others that were going through loss?
Yeah, and some of those challenges bring our soul's mastery, sounds like, through the work that people do with you.
Absolutely. Yeah, so in that way, people are, they're getting a sense of healing, moving forward and evolving. Speaking of which, I wanted to share another good way of how this can work. And this one is about releasing energy. This was... that boyfriend came back.
With the fascinating story.
Yeah, I know. I was like, how do we interject
this? Let's
get back to that one.
This one, it almost was like out of a movie in a sense. I have people imagine going through the tunnel. What's the first thing you're noticing or observing? He says, oh gosh, I'm standing in front of a house. The door's open. I don't want to go in there.
Ooh.
Oh. I said, okay. Well, let's go to a time before you're standing in the house. And he says, okay. And then he sees himself in his living room playing with his kids. His kids are 5, 7, and 9. And he says, my wife is standing in the background and she's just not very engaged. And I know I'm trying to tell the kids that their mother really does love them, but she doesn't really act like it. She's so kind of distant and cold. And I said, okay, information, once you get into it, it comes in downloads like that. So I said, okay, let's move to the next scene. We move to the next scene. He's in front of that house again. Mm. I don't want to go in there.
Okay. Mm.
He goes, but I say, okay, let's walk through it. He goes to the house, goes through it, and he sees himself then. It was like a crime scene.
Yeah.
He went through
me too.
Each
I saw that.
And every, went to these different rooms. And all the children had been killed.
So it's tragic.
And he hears a noise in the house. He goes there and he sees his wife there and this man. And they have these knives and they're covered in blood. And his wife, and he says he loses it. He just beats up on this guy, whoever was there. He doesn't know. And he comes down and he says, I call the police. Keep in mind, he's in his early 20s. He says, I stick my finger in this thing and I pull it. And that's what dials the police. He's talking about this.
A rotary phone.
And that's what calls the police. And he grew up with touchstones, I'm sure. But all of a sudden, the police come. He says, I'm sitting in front of the curb. And this police officer is trying to get me to look him in the eye. I can't. He gives me a cigarette. I take it. I smoke it all the way down. And then he gives me another one. And then he gives me the whole pack. I smoke it all down. He says, eventually, we went on. But eventually, he says, his wife ends up going to a mental hospital. The man went to prison. And he says, I just end up smoking and drinking the rest of my life. And I end up drinking myself to death in my children's graves. And when that life comes to an end, I always get a sense of him, okay, where does your soul go? What does it do? And usually, like I mentioned, it tends to feel like this energy current that pulls you higher. There it didn't. Mm. He says it just stays stuck there. And I said, okay, as time goes on and on and on, does your soul eventually pull and drift away, or does it more feel like part of you is still stuck there? Yes, that's what it feels like. And so
it hadn't crossed over.
Yeah, like it hadn't crossed over. It's like a sliver of his consciousness is stuck there.
Was he having a problem with addiction and smoking and drinking or something like that in
trauma.
His lifetime?
Yes. Let me read you his statement of intent of what he wanted to get out of the session. Because a month before the session, I have him fill this out. What do you want to get out of it? He says, I have a fear of all good things coming to an end. This was a month prior to the session. I have this fear of all good things coming to an end in relationships, among other things. And among other things, there's little extras, like maybe why I smoke or pace so much, but mostly why I fear being abandoned or betrayed. I have an empty hollowness. I won't be good enough. Then betrayed. Then abandoned. A sadness. I don't know what to do. So keep in mind, he wrote that a month before the session. We did that session. Okay, so his soul was stuck there. So I had him, I said, okay, right now, he had a special bond with his oldest son. I said, just call upon your oldest son right now with concentration from your heart. And he got a sense of his son coming to him. And his son, there was a reunion, and his son brought him up to this higher level of this higher level vibration, where he says, I'm moving into some light, and I'm just healing. I'm sitting in this light, just healing it. It's like purifying and cleansing. Healing. And he just rested there. And I was asking questions, but he just had to just rest there. Eventually, I had to pull him out because his time was going on. And he left. A month later, I get this email from him. No, this was 2 months after the session. He said, life here has been infinitely better since our session. There are so many pieces I've connected together after that experience. My fear of everything is just falling away. It's still so vivid, and my perspective on things has been so drastically altered. I hope people see just how fascinating and useful the therapy you offer is. I imagine coming home to what Richard did would leave a lasting impact. He knew his name was Richard in that last life. Thank you again so much for everything. So this is an example where we took a huge layer of that thought form energy that got stuck from when he had died, that being betrayed and abandoned, and why he smoked and paced so much. And so we are able then to energetically let that go. And when you do that, it changes you physically, mentally, and emotionally. Some sessions at times can be extremely profound in just one session. Sometimes they just give a little bit of clarity and insight. But pretty much they're always going to be beneficial for a person.
Yeah.
It feels like so much of our present moment might be informed by the subconscious past, mm-hmm. and how beneficial this kind of work really would be, not only to individuals, but as each person heals themselves, they heal the collective, and we're less triggered from those unconscious patterns. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Real important work.
When Carl Jung said healing is about making conscious which is unconscious. Mm. And so this is about making conscious which is unconscious, something unconscious. And I've got another fascinating story, if I might share.
Of course.
I'm keeping track of the time here, but there's a medical doctor came to me, frozen shoulder, couldn't lift it. He says, I've tried everything. I've been to the Mayo Clinic. I've had surgery. I've been to all kinds of alternative healers. Nothing worked. So he decided to try past life regression. I'm usually the last on people's list. And, he sees himself as this really strong, buff Roman soldier, and he's left-handed. That's his, you know, he's left-handed. He has a shield in his right hand. His left hand, he's a killing machine, and he is good at what he does.
Right.
And he just says, I've just put out all these peasant uprisings, and I'm really good at this. But after that life was over, he's in the soul realm. That's when he starts feeling a little guilty. He says, oh, my God, I created all of these fatherless homes. And he says, you know, I think this shoulder has to do with that karma.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had him. I said, just you're tuning into this eternal part of you. Just get an impression of this eternal part of you now calling upon the eternal part of anyone that you ever harmed in that life. And apologize. And that's what wanted to be done. I'm sorry. I apologize. And the answer that came back was, hey, all is forgiven. You are just a blind human doing your stuff.
Okay. Too many blind humans. Yeah.
It's all's forgiven.
That's shifting now, though.
So after the session, he raised his left arm right up. I saw him 3 years later at a talk. He walks up to me and he raises his left arm up. He says, Eric, that's the only thing that ever really worked.
Yes.
Awesome.
And so what I tell people, look, if you have trouble believing in reincarnation or believing, it does seem very fantastic. I know, is this really believable? But you can interpret this as a symbolic metaphor that your unconscious is showing. It's showing you. It doesn't matter how you want to interpret it, but you go within and your unconscious is going to show you something very valuable and helpful to help you move forward.
Beautiful.
Grow and evolve. As you go within, you tend to get something you need.
Oh, absolutely.
Tell us how would people find you or, like, you know, because I'm sure there's many listeners out here that are like, hold on, I need, you know.
I need a little Eric.
I need a little Eric.
Well, the best way to find me is my website is ericjchristopher.com. I think a lot of people find me when I know Eckhart Tolle said we tend to grow the most on the heels of tragedy.
Mm.
And I've had a lot of people come across certain books like Journey of Souls or other books having to do with the afterlife on the heels of like a loved one dying. And sometimes that can be the impetus that they have to get them to start exploring the truth.
Or it's a doctor that's tried everything and they're like,
absolutely. So the last person, yeah.
What we want to encourage people is that if you're just curious before you have that, I don't want to say tragedy, but before you have that extreme life experience, I challenge you to be curious and to go to your website. If you are curious, if you're aligned with what we've talked about today, because what you're doing, Eric, is powerful. And we are blessed that you're here with us today.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you won't regret it. It's beautiful work.
Thank you for having me here. It's just been an honor to share this truth that we're these eternal beings using this body.
Yeah.
And once you become steeped in that, it feels like a lot of subtle fears just tend to dissipate.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
I can feel it already.
I know. I'm like, okay. And you're getting the rooms just all like, yay. I like seeing a lot of little golf claps. It's just fantastic. You guys, being curious, Kelly and Brian, Elizabeth and Eric, today has been amazing. Be curious. Reach out to Eric. Till next time. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. This is Kelly signing off, and thank you very much for honoring us with your time.